Hello, testing again. Once again, we test the machine. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joe Girasi, your sports announcer. Now, what we have for this forward in a straight line. You know, many bowlers follow that advice in shooting for strikes, but they change it a bit, perhaps unconsciously, when shooting for the 10-pin or some other spare. You know, actually, the answering should be the same for every delivery.
Cancel it.
Tape recorder. I'm rewinding some tape so I can record. You have to sing or dance or something about it. Yeah. What can you do?
I got a recorder.
You got a recorder like this?
Yeah, no, I'm going to tape recorder. I got a disc recorder.
Oh, I got a disc?
It's older than that.
How does it work?
Oh, a record. A little green plastic record.
Oh, you're recording on a record. Well, this is tape. You can erase this.
You can pick up a lot more with this than I can pick up with mine. Mine is only made for recording voice or a conference at a table.
Want to go cook?
No.
Yes.
Well, this is my music. Does it sound like it? I'll show what this is. I'll show what this is. Doug?
Oh, yeah.
That's a tape recorder.
Yeah, I know, but they use that for your...
No, I don't use it at all. I just put around with it. I'm reeling some tape back now so I can record you. Can you sing or dance or anything?
I can't sing or dance.
Can't sing or dance?
It's just a waste of time.
Tell a dirty joke? I mean a clean joke?
I don't have any priceless pearls of wisdom to impart to humanity or posterity.
God damn, I don't want to record this. Everything you said, you want to record it.
This now. Testing 1, 2, 3, merely testing the machine. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
What's the name of that song, Joey?
What is he supposed to be good? What's his name?
Elvis
Presley?
And now we have Ralph D. Pomek. Ralph D. Pomek coming down the track doing about 80 miles an hour. Now we have another fellow, Barney Oldfield, one of the greatest, Barney Oldfield, doing about 220. Boop. Wow, did he go by.
Hey, just for fun.
Hello? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, merely testing. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joe Girasi, your roving street reporter. And now we see a man coming along the street carrying a little black bag. I'm going to stop the man and ask the man his name. Will you give me your name, sir, please?
My name is Joe McGee.
Well, that's fine, sir. And where are you, sir? Where do you reside?
In Rahway.
Broadway is fine. And may I ask, what is that little black bag? Is that a bowling bag, or are you some sort of a shoe salesman or something?
Oh, that's where I carry babies. I'm a baby doctor.
Oh, you're the baby doctor. Well, I always wonder where those babies come from, but oh, that isn't that bag is a little too small for doctors' babies or something?
Oh, no, sir. Everything comes in the bag. It's in the bag, brother.
And now we give you Tonto. Tonto, say, what do you say, Tonto? We go over there and get the bad man, huh? Okay, King is happy. Okay, King is happy. Jump on your horse. Oh, silverware! The Lone Ranger lost his underwear, and he couldn't afford another pair.
Now you get the reception. I put it back.
Hello. Hi.
Let's see what's wrong here. This is our microphone. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, testing.
I've got 1,000 joke books in my head. What do you think? Are you going to use for these? Bookends? This Superman is really terrific. Thanks for attacking us. Clark Kent jumps into the phone booth and out comes Superman. The tanks are destroyed. The enemy gets in the atom bomb, he just jumps into a phone booth and out comes Superman. Brings back a bomb, you know. I just don't know what we do if someone's using that phone booth. Women throw themselves at my feet. I wear gold-plated corn plasters. There used to be the pictures with numbers across the bottom. Hope things don't get tough as my wife's roast.
Good evening.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is station DOPE, broadcasting from the men's room of the Hotel Astor in New York City. For our first in program, we bring you Just Plain Bull, sponsored by DuBarry's Dangerous Temptation. Don't take any substitutes. When you get into your drugstore, insist on DuBarry's Dangerous Temptation. Just ask for DDT. And now from the classified ad column of the air. Wanted, waiter at insane asylum for serving soup to nuts. Wanted, position wanted. Refined girl looking for nightclub work. Has no bad habits, willing to learn. Personal, if James Blake, who 22 years ago basically deserted his helpless, penniless wife and infant son, Michael, will return home. Mike will take great pleasure in knocking hell out of him. And remember to use Scrappo shaving cream. Scrappo removes the chief difficulty of your shaving, your face. No brush, no rubbing, no lather, just blood. Our motto, we guarantee our product. Not for a day, not for a month, not for a year. In fact, we don't guarantee it at all. It's the advice to the Love Lauren program, conducted by Betty Boont, who says marry him if he's rich or tall or handsome, or if he asks you. And girls, remember this, when a man has a hangover, he needs a bromo. When a woman has a hangover, she needs a brassiere. So use Pike's Peak Brassieres, and remember our motto, united we stand, divided we fall. So here's Professor Fizz and his oddities of question programs. Question, why does an old maid wear cotton gloves? Answer, because she hasn't any kids. Of course, you all know what an old maid is. That's a girl who's been...
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, merely testing the machine. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the barbershop, where there is fine service here featuring the two minor birds talking in their own little, inimitable way. Let her go, Jerry. Ah, boy. Now a recording. I got the monitor tone quality on between treble and bass, and I'm trying to record to get little Tony's voice on a new piece of material. Testing 1, 2. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This time it gives me a great deal of pride and pleasure in presenting you, for you, my nephew, Anthony DiGesso, age 4. Here you are. What is your name?
Tony Boy.
How old are you?
3 years old.
Where do you live?
South 10th Street. Newark, New Jersey. I'm gonna sing a beautiful song. Happy cruise to you. Joe, Jerry is dumb.
No. Why do you say that? No. I want you to sing now. I'm no fooling around now.
I'm singing a chipmunk song.
Not the chipmunk song. I want you to sing Twinkle Twinkle.
And Tony, and I mean, Uncle Joe is dumb, and so is Tony. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. Up above the sky so high, like a diamond in the sky. Goodbye, folks. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. So long.
Right, come over here. You're not through. Come here. I want you to sing a Popeye song for me now. Popeye the Sailor Man.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man, boop, boop. I'm strong to me spinach, cause I eat me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man, boop, boop.
Now say hello to your mother and father.
Hello, Angie. Hello, Albie the Jesso. Hello, Butchie dear. Hello, Nancy. Hello, Colleen. Hello, Raymond. Looks like a Ray. I'll be getting a nice peek. I'll be getting a nice baby. What's the name's gonna be? Carolina Poop to Pop.
You're fooling around now. Where's your mother right now?
She's Atlantic City.
Summer Point.
Summer Point, which is a big ocean. Oh, she's playing around the road. She's playing with Colleen and Nancy. And do I hear a funny joke?
Hello, at this time, Tony will now endeavor to deliver a little recitation or joke. This is your announcer, Joe Girasi.
Don't please Joe DiRossi, because his name is Uncle Joe and Jerry.
Once
upon a time, there's a little mouse named Mighty Mouse. He could fly with no wings, and no head, and no nothing. He was a little tiny mouse. He wasn't strong, but he could pick up little buildings. He could pick up big buildings and little buildings. Well, guess how? He had no muscles.
Twinkle,
little star, how I wonder where you are. Up above the sky so high, like a diamond in the sky. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his thumb, and Jill came tumbling in. This is what? $3 bill. Yeah, that's what my father says.
Oh, yeah.
Little Miss Muffet sat on the tuffet, eating... Little Miss Muffet sat on the tuffet, eating the curds and whey. Along came a spider, sat on the spider, and finding Miss Muffet away. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great big fall. All came Smith and all came Saucer. Couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again.
All right.
I know another one.
Right, let me hear it.
Dumpkin, little pie, where were you today, sir? Very well, I thank you. I'm in lust in the mountain, Joe. Joe. Boop, boop, boop.
And that was Tony DiGesso, little Tony boy, age 4 years old, staying with us now while his mother is down in, Stony Point?
No.
Oh, Summer Point. I'm sorry. Summer Point, near Atlantic City. Come over here, Tony. And there's a big ocean there. What else is there? Sister Nancy is having another baby. Fine. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again. We're going to have another broadcast of Little Tony DiGesso. This, of course, takes place the following day, and of course, he's still 4 years of age. I'm going to ask Tony to say a few words to the listening radio audience. What's your name and address? Where do you live?
I live at South 10th Street, and my name is Tony Boy.
How old are you?
I'm 4 years old.
I'm
going to sing a beautiful song called Anky Doodle. Anky Doodle came to the farmer to ride a pony. I got Anky Doodle, sweetheart. Anky Doodle came to the farmer to ride the pony. Got Anky Doodle, sweetheart. Anky Doodle came to the farmer to ride the pony. Got Anky Doodle, sweetheart. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
That was very good, Tony. Now I want you to sing another song slower. Sing for Uncle Joe now, especially. Sing... Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
All right. Twinkle, twinkle, wait a minute. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder where you are. Up above the sky, so high, like a diamond in the sky. I'm going to say something else. I got a bit cold.
Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? He said, believe it or not, I've got a cold. And he's still doing excellent. Let's see now. What's another one? Popeye the Sailor?
Yes. Okay. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Boop, boop. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I talk to me spinach. I eat me spinach. Bum, bum, bum. Boop, boop.
Say hello to Mom and Daddy.
Hello, Albie. Hello, Angie. Hello, Butchie. Nancy, hello, Colleen and Ray, Uncle Joe, Aunt Nikki, Railroad Pug, Joey, Michael, Jerry, everybody. How are you? Don't believe Joe Girasi, because his real name is Uncle Joe.
Don't holler into the microphone. All right, now let's see, Tony. What else can you do or say for me while we're on the air now? You can say what? All right, do it.
Not too close.
It's a sad story.
Tell me a little story.
This is a song. Jack and Jill went up the hill. They fetched a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. What?
Well.
I guess what Jill came down, a $3 bill.
$3 bill? That don't go in that story, boy.
I know, I finished it already.
Oh. Well, where'd the $3 bill come from?
My daddy, him. He's a dummy.
Oh, don't say that about your daddy.
He's silly.
Say, I love my daddy.
I love my daddy.
I love my mommy.
I love my mommy and brother and daddy.
Okay. Is there anything else you can do before we sign off, Tony?
Yeah.
Tell me, what do you want to do? I'll tune this up and we'll get it going again. Good. Give it.
Thumb, 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 thumb. He bit up his thumb and pulled out a plum. And what a good boy am I. Guess why? He got the thumb from pumpkin pie. And the pumpkin pie, the apple grew from the ceiling. It's the funniest part. Goodbye, I got another song. Humpty Dumpty sat in the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great big fall. All the kings went and all the kings rose. Good boy, Humpty Dumpty. Together again. Little Miss Muffet sat on the tuffet, eating the cruising away. Along came a spider and sat next to me, Fighter, and Fighter Miss Muffet away, eh? Goodbye.
Oh, that there, ladies and gentlemen, was little Tony DiGesso, age 4 years old. And when we play this back, after he's about 18 or 20, he'll get a big bang out of this. This is Uncle Joe, better known as Joe Girasi, signing off. This comes through the courtesy of Stinko Soap. It doesn't float, it doesn't smell nice, it just keeps you company in the bathroom. And now, we are signing off.
My impression of an evening with a push-button radio. Once again, we salute all you millions of radio fans and fannies. This is station NUTS broadcasting on a hookup of 62 kilocycles, 38 motorcycles, and 2 bicycles. And now we bring you the news of the week. Flash. Sears Roebuck catalog resumes pre-war thickness. Farm boys again begin to learn the facts of life. Albany, New York, Miss Nancy Taylor reported to the police the loss of $20 today. She said the money was concealed in her stocking and the loss was discovered soon after the departure of a vacuum cleaner salesman who had been demonstrating his line. Shapeless mass. Man found shot, stabbed, poisoned, and hung. Police suspect foul play. Schultz's butcher shop reports that Mr. Schultz back into his meat grinder, and so he's a little behind in his orders. And now our weekly success story. Mo and Joe, two brothers, worked hard all their lives to make a fortune. Finally, Joe invented a machine into which you insert a dime and a new wipe came out. He made $1 million. But Mo made $10 million. He invented a machine in which you insert a wipe and a new dime comes out. I will now read you a letter from one of the many satisfied users of Campbell's Beans. Dear sir, for 15 years I've been bedridden, but after using your product, I find I can't stay in bed for any more than 5 minutes at a time. The band will now play our theme song without a word of warning. The first selection of our weekly poetry hour will be Don't Worry About the Woodpile, Mother. Father will come home with a load on. At intersections, look each way. A harp sounds nice, but it's hard to play. Say, Gypsy Rose is dressed very thin. Gypsy Rose sat on the pin. Gypsy Rose. Svengali Life Insurance Company. Gentlemen, you have asked me to fill out so many proofs and claims, forms and questionnaires, and I had so much trouble in getting my money that sometimes I wish my husband hadn't died. Flash. Leading fashion experts declare that women are wearing the same thing in brassieres this year. Men. Did you wake up with a grouse this morning, or did she get up ahead of you? And now the answer to our jackpot question of last week. The question, who's 43 and sleeps with cats? The answer, Mrs. Katz. Say, use Nepo, the new super laxative. Nepo, spelled backward, is open. Remember, when all others fail, Nepo will triumph in the end. Women factory workers, attention, please. My advice to you is this. If the sweater is too big for you, look out for the machines. If you're too big for the sweater, look out for the men. Do you see spots in front of your eyes? Then use Eigen's Irish Eyelash Dye and see the spots in Technicolor. And now we bring you the Lone Ranger, brought to you by the Simon Legree Finance Company. Our guest tonight will be Sherlock Holmes. Girls, there may be destiny that shapes our ends, but temporarily put your faith in stretch your girdles. Remember, when your love begins to curdle, you better buy yourself a girdle. Calling all cars in the vicinity of Lyons and Dewey. Calling all cars in the vicinity of Lyons and Dewey Street. Counterfeit $10 bills being distributed in your district. Be very careful in accepting bribes. Calling car 33, car 33. Go to the corner of Lyons and Dewey and break up a crap game between cars 67 and 68. Say, use Stinko Soap. It doesn't float, it doesn't smell nice, it doesn't clean, break into, or bubble. Just keeps you company in the bathtub. Dear Mr. Agony,
10 years ago, I sent my husband out for a loaf of bread. He hasn't returned since. What shall I do? Dear madam, don't wait any longer. Send out for another loaf of bread. Calling car 62, calling car 62. Wipe off your windshield. Someone is stealing your radiator cap. Calling all cars, calling all cars. Go to the lobby of the Essex House. Hedley Lamarr is standing there with her hat on. That is all. Girls, has faith played you a dirty trick? Has nature been unkind to you? Are you flat-chested? Well, make your torso more so. Our motto is, what the Lord's forgotten, we stuff with cotton. Try Upton's Uplifting Uplifts. They make mountains out of molehills. This is Joe Girasi signing off, and I sure hope you enjoyed my impression of an evening with a push-button radio. Now, next on the program will be a little pattern presentation, practicing for words in my act. Testing the machine, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, testing the machine. Good evening, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. There's no doubt you've all heard of that famous Indian rope trick. You know the trick where the magician has this long piece of rope extending high into the air. The little Hindu boy climbs and climbs. At that time the performer waves his magic wand. Both boy and rope disappear. That's a darn good trick. I don't have one tonight, so I'll do this one. This is an Indian rope trick, too. It comes from Indianapolis. The idea of the trick is merely to tie the pieces together. Take notice of each first, not first, and the second, not after the first. As you can plainly see, the two ropes are securely tied. Take the third and last piece, being the same length as the other two, I shall endeavor to tie that together. Incidentally, I learned to tie these knots when I was a Boy Scout. I've been a Boy Scout till I was 16. Since then, I've been a Girl Scout. Now, in order to do the trick successfully, we have a little booth with us. It costs $15,000 an ounce. So far this year, I bought 3 ounces. We sprinkle it on the ropes, and lo and behold, it's in one piece. And you produce the billiard ball. There are many kinds of balls. Golf balls, meatballs, sponge balls, matzo balls, goof balls. But these are billiard balls. The closer you watch, the more you think. I can explain how this is accomplished, but I haven't time. 2 balls, 3 balls. I call this an Irish trick. They're always doubling. Keep your eyes on the balls. If anybody would care to come up here and examine these balls, I'd be very happy. If you mind your own darn business. Watch. 2 single solid balls, in the mouth they go. And disappear, and then all of a sudden 1 comes out of mouth, 2 comes out of mouth, 3 comes out of mouth, and bow, and that's the end of the ball trick. About 12 years ago, this is for the Loda. 12 years ago, four of the world's greatest musicians got together in a hotel Astor in New York City. We were all seated around a table, and we have decided whoever would do the best trick would receive first prize. Now then, I did the best trick. I wrote a letter with a post office pen. That's a darn good trick. Try it sometimes. I received a little vase. There's a peculiar thing about this vase. You don't have to go to the sink or the faucet. Anytime you want water, you're merely taking turnips upside down. You get all the water you want. When this is dry, I'm going to show a very special trick with it. In the meantime, this next trick first came to this country about 45 years ago. It was invented by an old Chinese magician by the name of Fong Goldberg. Blow up the bag and say, now I know this is real milk. I drained this from the cow's crankcase myself this morning. It may seem a little watery. That's because the cow got caught in the rain. Yes, sir, you fellow, I hope you all drink your milk. Please retain your rain checks.
because this is likely the all red. A mere touch of the magic wand causes the milk to disappear. Pow, with the 38 tear gas pen, and it all goes. Now, Flat Rabbit, there's no doubt that you all expected a magician to have a rabbit here, a bunny rabbit. Believe me, boys and girls, I intend to have a rabbit here, but I've sent my suit off to be pressed. I forgot to take the rabbit out, and look what happened. I got Flat. Produce the Flat Rabbit, and they pick up the bang gun and say, "Now you thought the other gun was loud. Get a load of this. This goes off with a bang. Please hold your ears. This goes off with a bang." And you shoot the gun, and the words bang come out. And that says, "During my next mystery, I'd like to have you here, all seated around. During my next mystery, I'd like to have you here. During my next mystery, I would like to have you imagine yourselves sitting around a small dusty square somewhere in India, watching an Indian magician performing his finest feat of magic. From a small saucer like this, he pours 8 steel needles. I have developed and improved upon the famous needle trick. I use razor blades. These are longer and sharper than needles. Therefore, I feel much more interesting to use. I use 8 razor sharp or surgical steel razor blades. Being very sharp, they must be handled with extreme care. In the meantime, you put down 7 of them on the handkerchief. Extreme care. Then you put 1 in your mouth. And then you take it out of your mouth and you cut a piece of playing card. And after you cut the card, you put it back on the handkerchief. And then you sort of lift the flap of the hanky over to dry them, exposing the good set. Say, next, the Indian magician displays some thread, a whipcord. He takes about 2 or 3 feet, breaks off, winds around the 2 fingers of the right hand, whereby reducing the thread to a small ball, which can be easily swallowed like this. The thread has gone south. 8 surgical steel, a razor sharp, a razor blades. Now you pick up the stack deck, place them in the mouth. A little razor blade music, Professor. And as you put them in your mouth, you drink of water or something, you say, "A nostrovia, salute." And then you reach in and pull them out all strung up, and that ends the razor blade trick. Now for the untying silk, I'm going to present a number exactly the same way as is done by the Hindu fakers in the street bazaars of India. In India, the magician has a length of rope or cord or string or silk like this. He makes a knot in the center of it and he plays a little Hindu music. Da 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 da. Slowly the silk unwinds itself. Ooh. How about that? Let's do it again. He plays this Hindu music. Da da da. Slowly the silk unwinds. Yeah. I'm going to see if you're really paying attention. Now watch it very closely. Which way are the lines running? Up and down or across? Up and down. No, they're running across. That's very good. I got one here for the youngsters here, for the first grade. If you fellas in the back, you older students will cooperate with me for just a moment. I'm going to show this to the children. I was up the other night to Snow White, and I saw the Snow White and the 7 Dwarfs, and they gave me a pack of cards, and I decided that magic cards would be just a thing. So using my power gift of the powers, I made them a little smaller. Now, Dopey was frozen. Dopey says, "Well, I'll make them a little smaller, Mr. Dwarf. See, I can't manipulate these cards. My hands are too small." So I says, "Okay," and I made them a little smaller for Dopey. Now, Grumpy was there, too. Grumpy says, "Oh, come on, Joe. You can make them a little smaller than that." So I says, "All right, Grumpy," and I tried and tried, and I made him a little smaller for Grumpy. You see the difference? Look at the difference, huh? Now, Sneezy was there. Sneezy's, "Come on, Joe. Make him a little smaller. I know you can do it. I saw your last show, Joe." I says, "Okay, Joe." And I made him a little smaller for Sneezy. Now, Doc was there. Doc says, "Mr. Girasi, if you please. If you are the great Girasi, make him just a little smaller. Made them all so small that they all disappeared, and that ends the card trick. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now it seems to me that every magician has a good card trick in the repertoire, and I'd like to show you a nice student's, my conception of a card trick I have learned in my travels to distant far lands, such as Hillside, Hoboken, Elizabeth, Roselle. Tonight I'd like to have one of the older boys from the older class come up and select a card. We'll say the 7th or 8th grade. Anybody, it makes a difference. Fine. We'll take a boy from the 7th grade. There's a fella. All right, will you come up, please? Let's give him a big hand now. He's coming up. He's going to select a card. I like everything nice and select. And he looks like a bright boy. I hope he knows the difference of one card and another card, though. He steps on the stage. All right, son, step over here. Look out for the hole. Ha ha. You laugh. Say, let me ask you, do you know the difference of one card and another card? He says, yeah. He says, what's the other card? He don't know. You say, well, that's a joke. All right, what I want you to do is select a card, any card at all, from this deck, and show the group, show everybody the card. I may see it, because I'll see it anyway. And you look at it, tell, what is it? The seven of diamonds, hold high in the air, let everybody see it. You see that? The seven of diamonds. All right. Now, what I want you to do is autograph that seven of diamonds across the top. Fine. Thank you. You take that piece. Tear off a little piece of the corner so that you'll be able to identify the card once you see it again. Now, I want you to hold that piece high in the air. Let everyone see it. Fine. I'll place the cards in the box. And I might say at this time, there'll be no more card playing in Italy because the king's in the hole and the deuce went wild. Now the cards are in the box. And he has the torn corner there. I'm going to place the cards in the box in the stand, on the stand. This is the last stand. I think Custer made it. You heard of Custer's last stand. This is the last stand. This is the last stand, I think. Custer made it. You probably heard of Custer's last stand. Now then, the cards are in the stand. I'd like to have one of the older boys come up to blow up a balloon. One of the big boys in the back, we'll say the 8th grade. How about that? Come right up, anyone. That's good. I tell you what, let's make it a big show now. Give me two or three more guys up here. Yeah, go ahead. Four guys. That's all right. Come up, fellas. Have fun. I'm going to have a little balloon blowing contest here. Now, I want everybody to line up on the stage. I have balloons for each and every one of you. Line up on the stage. Attention. Fine. Now, look, fellas, this is going to be a balloon blowing contest. The winner of this contest will receive first prize, which is a 2-week all-expense cruise on a torpedo. Second prize, a brand new meatball pen that writes on the gravy. Third prize, brand new 1969 Cadillac catalog. 1, 2, 3, blow. Okay, boys, blow, blow. Hey, let's go, fellas, blow. Hey, they're blowing the balloons. Some guys got holes in the balloons. Some guy can't blow them. And in the meantime, I produce from one of the fellas hot dogs and the like of that. And then balloons break, I discharge them off the stage, and I just keep up two fellas, one fella that selected the card and the fella that won the contest. What I shall attempt to do tonight, or this afternoon rather, is have the gentleman's selected card with his autograph minus the torn. Hold that piece a little higher, fella. Higher. Fine. What I want to do is have his card appear in this balloon. A little higher, please. Pile this in this balloon. A little higher, please. Keep on telling the kid, higher, higher, higher. Pull that higher gag up. It's a very good gag. All right. Now he holds the piece high into the air. Now, I shall attempt to have this young fellow select the card minus the torn corner and his autograph appear in this balloon. It's impossible. I'll do it. I take a pin from my lapel, say to the fellow, what's the name of your card, son? He's 6 of diamonds. The balloon breaks, there goes the 6 of diamonds. Give him a big hand. Isn't he wonderful? How would you like to see me hypnotize this fella? Okay, hypnotize him. I have two chairs up there. I'll tell them both to sit down on the chairs. They both sit down on the chairs and they say, now, this might be an experiment in spiritualism, hypnotism, rheumatism, as long as it isn't communism. The word of communism, they jump off the chair and everybody howls and laughs and laughs, and then they sit down again. And I get behind them and just point, and all of a sudden they jump up again and hold their fannies, and everybody laughs and laughs. I'll say, what's the matter, fellas? No shocks here. Everything is all right. Look, I'm sitting down. It's quite all right. And then they jump again. They sit down. They jump again. Then all of a sudden I go to one young fellow and say, what have you been doing all day? Studying? Where do you study? And I reach in his pocket and produce a lady's stocking and a string of hot dogs. And everybody laughs and howls. Then I say, now I went, in order to hypnotize these fellas successfully, we have a little hypnotic glasses. I'm going to put the hypnotic glasses on him. Yes. I put the glasses on, everybody laughs, and I say, I think this other guy looks good as a blonde. What do you think? Give him a big hand. Clap, everybody. Give him a big hand. He's a great performer. And I put a wig on him. And then I come back to the first guy, and I put glasses on him. And then I go to the second guy, and make a Chinese magician, and put Chinese glasses on him. Put an arrow to his head, and put horns on his head. And then we'd build it all up and have a lot of fun, and laugh, and laugh, and laugh. Then all of a sudden, I go back to the first guy, but if you extend your arm, sir, please, he extends his arm. I'm merely going to loosen his cuff button, if you will, please. Just merely loosen the button from his cuff. Next arm, please. You see, he's got a cuff. I'm glad you don't have French cuffs. You know, last night a man had French cuffs. I thought I'd never be able to do this trick, but I did it. Now loosen this cuff button, too. Put your arms down, please, and relax. No harm will come to you. Just cooperate with me. Is that a fact? Is that right? All right, now just be very quiet and listen to my suggestion. No harm will come to you. You are under my power. I'm going to shrink you up and shrink you up so that I'm merely going to loosen your collar and tie and your cuff buttons. That is all. Get behind him and pull out his shirt and produce the streamers from my pocket. And after that, I take the glass out of everybody and tell him, go sit down. And when he's going down, I say, oh, hey, pardon me, have you got the time? And he goes back, and I say, here's your watch. And he starts to walk up. I'll say, here's your wallet. Maybe I'll steal something from the other kid, too. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good idea. Here's your pencils. Here's your erasers. Fine. And then I'll say, lastly, we shall have a little arson, which is a surefire proposition. I light the fire, and all of a sudden a dove comes out. And I say, this bird's name is Sadie. When Sadie was a little girl, she lived next to a firehouse. She learned to climb a ladder. Come on, honey, climb the ladder. Nice. Good girl, good. I'll say, how would you like to see me hypnotize the bird? Watch. Sleep. Sleep. If you don't sleep, I'll pull off your shirt. Make some passes over, and first thing you know, the bird's sound asleep. You turn it upside down. And that gets a good hand, too. And then you put the bird down, you're reaching back of the table for the silk cane, you know, and I have a sock. And now, boys and girls, in conclusion, I have only to say that apart from deceiving you, which was merely a secondary consideration, if I have afforded you here all some slight fun or amusement, I feel amply rewarded. And now I shall leave you like I came, with my cane. And I also call this a good sock finish. Watching it closely, you twirl the sock around and around, 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 and it comes to a cane, and you stay, you show the cane, you reach up, you get your bird, he sits on a cane, you walk off, you come back, you spill the water out of the vase, you walk off, you come back, you spill more water out, And that concludes the performance this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to present a number with properties so simple you can find them in your own homes, and so you can go home and try the tricks for yourselves. You need only have a drinking glass, which you can see cannot be tricked and is so free from preparation. As you wear this little white lie, pick up the fake glass tumbler with the left hand, thumb covering the air hole. A piece of paper and a quantity of milk. First, the glass is filled with the milk. Next, the paper is dampened, first on one side and then on the other. The paper is then pressed against the mouth of the glass very carefully all the way around. As you have been holding the glass full of milk in the left hand, thumb over the hole, the right hand has picked up and displayed the piece of paper freely on both sides. It is now completely dipped into the picture milk and lifted out with one side towards the audience, being held in view for a moment or two to allow water to drip off. Then it is turned around and again dipped into the bucket, and this time pick up the fake behind it. It is lifted up into view for a few moments, allowing water to drip off. The fake is behind the paper and it can't be seen from the rear because it's transparent. This method of display convinces and proves the innocence of the paper. Place the paper over the mouth of the glass, being careful that the fake fits into the mouth. A move greatly assisted by the shoulders. Press the paper around the entire edge of the mouth of the glass. Incidentally, a trick is to put a little Vaseline around the glass to hold the fake on the mouth of the glass. Vaseline all around around the glass first, right? Now you continue your pattern. You say, now if this has been done properly, the glass may be turned upside down and the water, or the milk rather, will not fall out. And then you nervously take your hand away from the paper and hold the glass at arm's length upside down so one may see the floating milk. And you say, I realize this is no great mystery. Perhaps many of you have already tried this trick, perhaps at home or in school, and found it to be working as simple as I am showing it to be. It is quite obvious why the water does not fall out. The paper prevents it. It is a well-known scientific law called atmospheric pressure. If the paper were removed, the water, in accordance with another law, the natural law of gravity, would naturally fall to the floor. However, I have recently discovered that science in that respect is an error, that with a little practice you can remove the paper and the milk can be controlled. You may have to practice it 5,000 or 6,000 times, but it can be done. Now, if you ever possess any showmanship, you must use it here. This is a crux of the trick. Hesitate several times before you peel off the paper slowly. Look deadly serious. Assume a dramatic, tense posture. If this is well acted, you will frequently arouse applause when the paper is finally stripped off and permitted to float to the floor. Then you continue saying, as you see, I am controlling the water. In order to prove to you that my control is absolute, I'm going to cause the water and the milk to drop freely from the glass at the word of command from some member of this audience. Anytime anyone here says go, it will go. When this dramatic pronouncement brings the inevitable response, move the thumb slightly away from the air hole and the milk will stream down into the picture. Stand holding the glass with mouth facing the audience as you come out with a broad smile. When you get home, try the trick yourselves. If it works, please tell me. That'll be a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, I am about to present a number with properties so simple that you can all find them in your own homes and therefore go home and try this trick for yourselves. You need only have a drinking glass, which you can see cannot be tricked and so free from preparation. A piece of paper and a quantity of liquid. Tonight we're using milk. All right, first you fill the glass with the milk. Next, the paper is dampened, first on one side and then on the other, and very carefully pressed against the mouth of the glass all the way around like this. Now, if this has been done properly, You can turn the glass upside down and the milk will not fall out. I realize this is no great mystery. Perhaps many of you tried these tricks at home and school and found it as simple as I am showing you to be. It is quite obvious why the water does not fall out. The paper prevents it. It's a well-known scientific law called atmospheric pressure. But if the paper were removed, the water, in accordance with another law, the natural law of gravity, would naturally fall to the floor. However, I have recently discovered that science to that effect is an error. He doesn't know. One can remove the paper and keep the milk suspended in the glass and controlled. I'm going to try it. Watch. As you're trying it. You may have to practice this 4, 5, 6,000 times, but it can be done. Watch. As you see, I am now controlling the milk in the glass. And now, to prove to you that my control is absolute, I'm going to have the milk leave the glass at the word of command. When some member of this audience says, go, the milk will go. Go, and the milk goes. You take your finger from the hole, and it goes, and that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, you know that I slept like a log last night. I know I did. I woke up in the fireplace. Did you hear about the dog who lived in the street with 4 lampposts? He didn't have a leg to stand on. You know, as a matter of fact, on the way here tonight, I saw a red fire engine. Have you ever thought why a fire engine is red? Well, I'll tell you. Yes, sir, I'll tell you. Fire engine has 4 wheels. 2 times 4 equals 8. 4 plus 8 equals 12. There are 12 inches on a ruler. Queen Elizabeth was a ruler. Queen Elizabeth knighted Drake. Drake sailed the 7 seas. In the seas, 7 seas are fishes. Fishes have fins. Fins live in Finland. Finland is next to Russia. Russia are red, and that's why fire engines are red. There were 2 flies on Robinson Crusoe. One said to the other, I'll be going now. See you on Friday. A girl just come back from a honeymoon. She wrote to her mother, Dear Mom, having a lovely time. However, Tom wants to make love to me all the time. When I'm washing, he wants to make love to me. When I'm dusting, he wants to make love to me. When I'm putting my lipstick on, he wants to make love to me. P.S. Please excuse the wobbly writing. Mary had a little watch. She swallowed it one day, and now she's taking Epsom salt to pass the time away. Hello. Who was that lady I saw you with last night? That was no lady. That was my brother. Gosh, has he got problems. Girl says, a girl wanted to get married in a topless dress. The priest says, you can't get married like that. The girl said, look here, I want to get married in a topless dress. I'm going to get married in a topless dress, and furthermore, I have a divine right. The priest says, you have a nice left too. You have a nice looking left too, but you're still not going to be married in a topless dress. Say, did you hear about the whale who gave out cigars when he saw a submarine fire a torpedo? Did you hear about the man who crossed a beaver with a kangaroo? He got a fur coat with pockets. Did you hear about the cross-eyed school teacher who got the sack? She couldn't control her pupils. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I must say it's nice to be here tonight. I have just come back from Los Angeles. That's the only place where you can open your hotel window and hear the birds coughing. I stayed at a hotel called the Anglebaum, a typical low joint. The receptionist said to me, she said, "Do you want a room with running water?" I said, "No, I don't like sleeping with Red Indians." I eventually had a fish. You know the type, long time no see. The coffee was terrible. I told the waitress it tasted like mud. She said, "It will do, sir. It was ground only a few minutes ago." They had a very novel idea at the hotel. They used to pour beer on the lawn. It was very expensive, but the grass used to come up half cut. When I went to Hollywood and Vine, my father said to me, he said, "Son, don't go to any of them strip clubs. You might see something you shouldn't." I went, and I saw something I shouldn't. My father sitting in the front row. The girls were nothing but leaves. I was there in the autumn. You know, it's a funny thing. I like this town. I was in the army here. I remember when we got out, everybody went wild with joy except me. I went wild with Mary. Of course, I worked for a knife sharpener. Not for long, though. I couldn't stand the grind. His name was Parker. It wasn't his real name, just his pen name. You know, he had what the girls call Tarzan eyes. He used to swing from limb to limb. He was so bald, you know, he was very bald. He used to have rabbits tattooed on his head. He thought they'd look like hairs from a distance. I'm very lucky to be here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I have just came out of the hospital. I met my girlfriend in the hospital. I'll never forget the first time we met, and believe me, I've tried. I said, "You know, you look good. You look like Helen White." She said, "I look like Helen Black too, but it's none of your damn business." She was wearing a religious dress, lo and behold. She's a redhead. No hair, just a redhead. She's an optician's daughter, you know the type. Two glasses and she'll make a spectacle of herself. Dumb? Oh, my God, was she dumb. She once saw some milk bottles in the field and thought she'd discovered a cow's nest. And her mother, oh Christ, her mother, was she fat? She had more chins than a Chinese telephone directory. You know, I really shouldn't say she's ugly. Let me tell you this, if she lived in India, she'd be sacred. And her father, he was so mean. Every time he took a penny out of his pocket, Lincoln would blink his eyes at the light. And when he got married, Gary, this guy is great. When he got married, you know, he only invited married couples to the wedding. So he said all the presents were clear profit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave you with this tonight. Did you hear about the baby who was born with a mustache? Its mother was tickled to death. You know, on the way here tonight, a girl came up to me and said, "Hello, handsome. Can you tell me where is the eye hospital?" You hear about the Army karate expert who saluted the colonel and killed himself? You hear about the Australian who got a new boomerang for his birthday? He spent hours trying to throw his old one away. She opened the door in her Nike. Funny place for a door. Announcement, ladies and gentlemen, please, announcement, kind attention. Mr. Smith's butcher shop reports that Mr. Smith recently backed into the bacon slicer and consequently he's a little behind in his orders.